It is now time for our featured segment, ladies and gentlemen. It is called Mic Check. It's going to be a very serious conversation, a very serious disorder in Jamaica and around the world also. But this morning, we're going to be focusing on Jamaica. Bipolar disorder in Jamaica. Hundreds of Jamaicans are affected by bipolar disorder, and oftentimes, listeners and Anthony Turner, they are misunderstood and misdiagnosed. This morning, we have a psychiatrist, Dr. Dorothy Marcia Garvey, joining us. Our guest has arrived, Anthony. Please do the honors.
Well, as you said, Rasklem, our special guest on Mic Check this morning is Dr. Marcia Garvey, the regional psychiatrist in the Southern Regional Health Authority, and she's held that post since 2001. And Dr. Garvey received her training at the University of the West Indies, Mona, where she gained a Bachelor's of Science, Bachelor of Medicine, a Bachelor's of Surgery, and a Doctor of Medicine in Psychiatry. And as a regional psychiatrist, Dr. Garvey works closely with the other sectors of the community, including Northern Caribbean University and other institutions of learning, churches, non-governmental organizations, and the police and correctional facilities to address mental health issues. And she has made many presentations on topics such as the management of psychotic disorder, depression, stress management, post-traumatic stress disorder, and adolescent and emotional intelligence. So we welcome Dr. Garvey to Groovin' Radio this Saturday morning.
Good morning, Dr. Garvey. How are you this morning? Dr. Garvey?
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. How are you doing this morning?
Okay, great. Yes. I am fine, thank you. And good morning to all your listeners. It's really good that I have been invited to be on your program.
Well, I am happy to have you, Dr. Garvey. This is a serious conversation. And, you know, coming out of this coronavirus pandemic and dealing with other issues like we talk about RSV virus, we're now dealing with the monkeypox. We're dealing with a lot of things. What we are seeing coming out of the pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic, is a lot of mental issues. But we want to talk about bipolar disorder in Jamaica. What is it like for mental illness in Jamaica? As I said, oftentimes a lot of people living with bipolar are misunderstood and misdiagnosed. What is it like in Jamaica when it comes to bipolar?
Okay, thank you for that question. Well, in Jamaica, it is not very different from other places, because if we look at some of the things that affect mental health in general, it will then factor into the specific disorders. So one big problem is stigmatization and discrimination. So, you know, once somebody thinks that you act a little funny, the label MAD goes on very quickly. And most times, people are considered to have a psychotic disorder. So the psychotic disorder is the one in which people are out of touch with reality. And of course, obviously, if it goes on without treatment, the behavior changes. And people are doing things which are uncharacteristic for them and their personality. So without thinking, persons will even, you know, immediately conclude that this person is mad. And that madness means psychosis. Now, bipolar disorder is a different kind of thing. It is a mood disorder. And so there is a distinction. It's one that in which the mood is predominantly the thing that is obvious, and there is a inability to regulate one's mood. It may involve the loss of reality testing, as we would say, but it is not primarily a psychotic disorder. So when people are misdiagnosed, as you would say, they're discriminated again. And even when the diagnosis is correct, persons are at a lot of times very intolerant. Mm-hmm. And so they will not give the kind of support that is required. Mm-hmm. And bipolar disorder, persons who suffer from bipolar disorder, may come into that category because partly the nature of the condition, it can get people riled up.
Mm-hmm.
So if I may just conclude with that, it's a mood disorder, and persons' mood may change in such a way that they become irritable, they become disinhibited, they will be quite, as we say in Jamaica, up front in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, persons not understanding that this is a change, it's a condition that the person is suffering from, we take it personally and literally.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are confrontations, and you know, there can be a lot of uncontrollable situations. Mm-hmm. As a result of that.
You know, it is said that many persons are living in Jamaica with a mild form of bipolar. Now, the misdiagnosis and the misunderstanding of these people, how do you treat these folks?
Wow. The truth is we are not able to reach as many people as we would like.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly those who come into contact with us because they would have had a relative who are associated with someone, mm-hmm. whether through work or other organizations,
mm-hmm.
and they come into our domain,
mm-hmm.
then we can begin to educate them. We certainly have community education programs. So prior to the onset of the corona pandemic,
mm-hmm.
there were lots of activities where we would go into communities, we would piggyback on other establishments such as churches where there are health fairs,
mm-hmm.
we go to Denby agricultural show, and we would ensure that we try to promote the aspects of mental health that will make for improvement in the management of persons who have to live with these conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So mental health education and promotion is one of the strategies that we use in trying to get people. There are radio programs and sometimes television programs that will give us, you know, a hearing where those airing these things are concerned. But certainly a lot of what we have to do, because we will find that for most persons with bipolar disorder, there's going to be an admission or two or three. And so we try to educate the relatives during that period.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there are actually friends who are also interested. So we bring them in, we get them on the telephone, and we try to say, look, a part of what is necessary is support,
mm-hmm.
physical, emotional, social support. If you can be a friend to this person, it's going to be a big plus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, with doing those little, making those little inputs, then mm-hmm. we're able to make a difference in many lives.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as we'd like to,
mm-hmm.
but that's, you know, what we can do within our the resources we have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking with psychiatrist Dr. Dorothy Marcia Garvey. She is a psychiatrist in Jamaica. The conversation this morning is around bipolar disorder in Jamaica. It is said that there's an estimated 5 million Americans living with bipolar disorder. Also, there are some famous Americans like Catherine Zeta-Jones. She has bipolar disorder, Anthony, and I mean many others who are very famous. But let's go into the school system, because bipolar is like it's a mood swing. Children who oftentimes have mood swings, you know, teacher will send them home, or you know, as you said, we can't deal with them. How do we reach these children? I mean, is there a system in Jamaica where when children in schools act up and have mood swings, is there help for those children?
Oh, yes. There is help. There mm-hmm. is help. Most schools, I would say maybe about 80% of schools, would have a guidance counselor.
Mm-hmm.
A guidance counselor would be someone who has training in psychology counseling. And so can identify
mm-hmm.
and initiate, you know, simple first aid steps and sometimes simple interventions that could alleviate a major problem. Now, the guidance counselor, if a child is referred to him or her, can then make an assessment, do the initial interventions, and if there is not satisfactory resolution or progress, then that person would be referred to a mental health professional outside of the education system. And that would involve the child guidance clinics, which there are child guidance clinics in every parish, certainly at the comprehensive clinics in the primary care system. So persons can be referred to these clinics where usually there's a child psychiatrist. No, sorry, not a child psychiatrist. Those are very few in Jamaica, limited perhaps to only Kingston area. But we have psychiatrists in all the areas. And so there are psychologists. Some are blessed with psychologists, and some are blessed with social workers. So with the combination of the psychiatrists, social workers, medical officers who are also working in mental health, the social workers and the psychologists, we're able to make some input. And we do see a reasonable share of children and adolescents in our clinic. We are woefully understaffed, and so that is a big challenge that we're facing given all the recent increase in mental health issues among our children and adolescents. And so that is a major challenge. We also work with other agencies such as the Child Development Agency, the Ministry of Justice through their program as well. And so, you know, children and adolescents, as much as possible, we try to intervene while the when the situation presents itself, and there is inter-referral. So the Ministry of Justice may refer to health, education may refer to health. We can advise as we assess them and send them back for continuation of therapy. As I said, we use what we have, but we wish we had more.
Indeed, and we need more, because I'm going to go there in a moment. Anthony, I'm going to pass the baton to you for your question regarding bipolar in Jamaica. Anthony Turner.
Yes, good morning, Doc. How is everything?
Hi, good morning, Anthony. I'm very fine. Thank you.
Yeah, very good. I was reading recently, because a lot of people don't want to come forward and announce that they have any sort of disorder, but I was reading where Lila Ikea, a popular reggae artist, she revealed that she has been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and she was actually ridiculed on social media. So how can we change this perception and this whole thought process, especially in Jamaica, for bipolar disorder and mental disease?
Wow, that's $1 million question. As I said before, we need to do a lot more promotion of the realities of mental health, because persons are still steeped into thinking that the causes are wide and varied. You know, it is somebody do you something, you know, as in some obeah, or it is that just people bad mind you, and they're not seeing it as a medical problem. It's a condition that develops like any other physical problem. Diabetes, hypertension, there is a process. You don't get up one morning and you just have it. Things would have been happening that led up to the manifestation. And so the challenges when it comes to mental health is that persons are not aware or not accepting the reality of the process by which this condition develops. So we really need to brainstorm more in our schools, in our community organization, and trying to get persons to understand. I think a lot, because we're dealing with real life situations. We're dealing with family and conflicts which may have arisen in families. And nobody wants to take the responsibility to say, I would have contributed to this problem. So when it arises, we turn to saying that, you know, these people, these children or these adolescents, all they want to do is just smoke or them just wayward, mm-hmm. not realizing that the interaction between the caregiver and the child could have been contributing to the development of this mood change. That's one aspect of it that we need to be able to address. So when people don't want to see themselves as part of the whole issue, mm-hmm. then it's easy to just say, look, we don't have to deal with this. It's madness. Mm-hmm. So if we need to sit one-on-one, maybe having focus groups in communities, but organized events. And we're even thinking that what we've found also is that if you organize a mental health event by itself, mm-hmm. the support is usually very low. So one of the strategies that we have been thinking about is get involved with other organizations. Something like, say, a reggae song fest, or something like other entertainment events that happen. Let there be a serious component where there is a mental health focus, you know, so that we can get to persons who would not normally come to our meetings that we would plan. So we really need to review our strategy in terms of how we get the word out there and how we can get to the one-on-one with individuals. We certainly have seen that when we do promos, we get persons, you know, who will call us afterwards, will come and want to have some further discussion. So it's a strategy that can work if we're able to get it going. And one other thing I'd like to say on that, I think more persons who have had the condition, mm-hmm. who have been living with it and who have managed to overcome, need to speak out. It's very unfortunate, but it's understandable that this person, this entertainer, spoke out and was ridiculed. Mm-hmm. But in time, if she holds her ground, that person will be seen as being able to function. Your life does not end when you have a mental issue. You can still function. You can still be a part of a productive society.
You know, Dr. Garvey, at the top of this conversation, you mentioned the MAD word, mad. And I think one thing is that we're too quick to jump to judgment and label people. And, you know, when we have a conversation like this, I don't want people to think that we're putting people on the spot. We're not putting anyone on the spot here, because truth to be told, in Jamaica, there is no data at all. There is no data at all in Jamaica, Anthony, to suggest how common bipolar is in Jamaica. So now here we go. And this conversation, true to be told, this conversation this morning was prompted by a young lady by the name of Lee Clarkin, who actually has a son who was murdered, who was killed in Jamaica because he suffered from bipolar, Anthony. A brilliant young man who studied abroad and went back to Jamaica. He was a teacher at one time, and because he suffered from bipolar, people felt that he wasn't behaving right, and subsequently he was killed. Now, I think, and as you listen to Dr. Garvey, and as I listen to Dr. Garvey, and you know, the question is asked, how do we get the word out there? First and foremost, Dr. Garvey, we have to start having these conversations. And I personally, mm-hmm. I think these conversations should be held on a weekly basis. I don't think when you go, I think we need more psychiatrists in the school system in Jamaica. You know, you mentioned, what was it again you mentioned in terms of at every school there is a counselor? Is it a guidance counselor? Yes, yes. Guidance counselor. And with all due respect, I don't think in Jamaica, guidance counselors are equipped with all the tools in their toolboxes to deal with this issue. Too many children has been, and too many adults have been misdiagnosed with bipolar, even in this country. So I cannot imagine in Jamaica, what is it like? So let's start having these conversations like this one. Let's start engaging the schools. Let's start engaging other entities, all kind of entities, in having these conversations. Because in these United States, the COVID-19 pandemic exposed another pandemic, which is the mental health pandemic. And then you look at Jamaica, when you have 10 people in one yard lock up, can't go to the street because himself is in your yard. Those children and even those adults must have been going through some things. How do we now connect them and get them the proper treatment? Is there any kind of vaccination, any kind of tablet that these people can take who have these mood swings? Dr. Garvey?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you, go ahead.
Are you hearing me?
I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Okay, fine. Right. So the treatment approach is a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
We, first of all, having done the assessment, we will determine, does this person need psychological intervention only, or do they need medication intervention?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, if a disorder is made, a diagnosis of bipolar disorder is made, 9.5 out of 10 times we're going to need some medication to stabilize the mood that has gone awry.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there are medications, and we have a variety of medications. We call them mood stabilizers,
mm-hmm.
and we also use the ones we call antipsychotics, which are also, they have mood stabilizing properties.
Mm-hmm.
And so a combination of them sometimes are needed, and we use the antipsychotics, the newer ones, such as risperidone, olanzapine, quetiapine, and the mood stabilizers. Funny enough, they are also the ones that are used for seizure disorders. But it is found that when we use them, they bring the mood down. They stabilize these individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use things like Tegretol, carbamazepine, valproic acid, lamotrigine. These are all medications that are available and can be used, and used with good effects.
Mm-hmm.
And the old standard, we still use it, very good. It's called lithium carbonate. It is very good for stabilizing bipolar condition.
Mm-hmm.
It requires a little bit more routine in that we have to test the lithium levels in the blood and so on. But it is quite an effective form of medication.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we use injectable medications because we find that persons will benefit better. And those who are so a little reluctant to take their medication, then we can use the injectables, which they may go for a month at a time or even 3 months at a time. So 4 injections for the year is good for compliance,
mm-hmm.
or 1 a month, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It helps with stabilizing individuals.
Mm.
There's also the psychotherapy. So we have to talk about the issues that people have. Like I was mentioning earlier, their family discord. Sometimes we can help to address those. But also in helping individuals to manage themselves. So stress management, being able to budget well. They do may have a problem with spending when the bipolar is on. So helping with things like managing their budget, their money, and skills training for those who may need that.
Mm.
Those are all aspects of the treatment that is offered.
Mm.
And you mentioned, if I may go back to something you said earlier, about, you know, starting the conversation or upscaling it.
Mm-hmm.
The Ministry of Health has actually launched a program which is called the Mental Health Literacy in School. So it is among the objectives of this is to help students to be aware of their emotions and their mental issues and being able to manage them. But it also requires the teachers and the other workers in the schools to also be aware of the behavioral changes that can occur. So together, the skills and the techniques to improve the management of mental health among our children and adolescents,
mm-hmm.
will be taught and will be, you know, managed in schools, hopefully in a better way, in shorter order than longer.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Garvey, we're going to take a 3-minute break. And when we come back after the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to wrap up our conversation. But, you know, while we take the break, I want you to think about this. And you just mentioned it. You mentioned the Ministry of Health, you know, launching a program. And I was just about to ask you about mental health education. And what I can say about that, it is very, very critical that we have these conversations, Anthony, because if we don't, we're going to start losing too many of our youngsters and a lot of our adults, Anthony, who don't want to be stigmatized as being mad. When we come back, we want to talk about how can we dispel some of the stigma surrounding bipolar and mental health. Dr. Garvey, stay where you are, please. You're listening to Groovin' Radio. My name is Ras Clem, and we are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check. Back in 3 minutes.
Groovin', jamming to the radio. Yo, this is Jack Critique, and you're tuned to Groovin' Radio. You got it? Groovin' Radio on the Mic Check with your host, Ras Clem. Remember, I told you.
Thank you so much to my very, very good friend, Mr. Jack Radix, as we return for the final 25 minutes of our Groovin' Radio's presentation this Saturday morning. Mic check, ladies and gentlemen. The conversation this morning is about the bipolar disorder in Jamaica. Hundreds of Jamaicans are affected by bipolar disorder. Oftentimes, they are misunderstood, they are misdiagnosed. And joining us this Saturday morning is a noted psychiatrist, Dr. Dorrit Marcia Garvey. Anthony Turner, who is our writer, is also a part of the conversation. And Anthony, this past week, Nancy Pelosi announced that she is stepping down. And that has now opened the door for Brooklyn's own Akeem Jeffries. Yes, Akeem Jeffries to be the leading Democrat in the House of Representatives. Welcome back, Dr. Garvey.
Thank you. I'm right here.
Yes, as I welcome you back for the final about 20 minutes that we have left of this presentation. One of the things that we want to do, Dr. Garvey, with a presentation like this is to improve public attitude and dispel the misconception
right. And
the stigma surrounding bipolar and mental illness. Now, before we took the break, I brought up mental health education. And I personally think that this is something that we must put in our school system. Because, you know, when I went to school in Jamaica, and I must confess this, when I went to school in Jamaica, Anthony, you know, you would go to school and you would see a girl or a boy sitting down there just looking in space. And sometimes you wonder what was happening. And the first thing that other students would say, "Rascal, madaman, leave him alone." You know what I'm saying? So, Doc, how do we improve public attitude surrounding bipolar and mental illness? How do we do that? How, where do we start? I know it's a tough one, but we have to start somewhere.
We have to start somewhere. You are absolutely right. Mm-hmm. We have to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was thinking about it, the whole concept of emotional intelligence is something that we have to step up on. Mm. Emotional intelligence has to do with, just like how we talk about our IQ, we talk about the emotional quotient or the emotional intelligence because we want to have a pulse as to, do we understand our emotions? Can we identify them? Can we regulate them? Do we understand that what we do and how we feel can affect other people and that other people can affect us and our emotions? So how can we soothe ourselves? How can we regulate? How can we manage that we don't cause the same distress to other people? How can we build healthy relationships? These are all domains of emotional intelligence. And so that concept has to be rolled out and broadened and supported.
Mm-hmm.
There is some effort to do that. I mean, the Early Childhood Commission in Jamaica is one of those organizations which has been looking at what happens to our children. So there's a component looking at the teaching of those soft skills, life skills, early.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is said by research and supported that you need to learn these skills in your first 6 years of life.
Mm-hmm.
It gets much harder after that. And some people go as far as saying, if you reach 15 and you haven't got it, then, boy, you're in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
But learning is what has to take place. So we have to begin to help persons to understand that your emotions matter.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming from an era where, you know, children were seen and not heard in my parents' time and maybe in my older brothers and sisters' time.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're in an era where children are seen and need to be heard, and they know that. So the mindset has to change that there is something about our young minds that needs attention. So we have to start there in looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're having adults who need to be able to manage their children. So do we need to have some parenting seminars, workshops, whereby we can work with people over a period of time, not just a one-off seminar, because that won't be enough.
Mm.
We need to be able to teach them the skills. We say, don't beat them anymore, that's physical abuse. So what do they do to discipline their children? Many people don't have a clue what else to do.
Mm.
We need to have parenting seminars, parenting associations that can help those parents to understand that.
Mm.
And also their presence. Parents think that children can just grow up and not be supported.
Mm.
We need parents to be involved in their children's lives. This is how we're going to build those relationships. This is how we're going to help these children to know that they matter and that they can be healthy emotionally.
Mm.
Right? Now, when things happen, as in traumatic situations, and there is a disturbance in the child's development, again, we must not brush it over and say that children don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
There is an impact that would be there, and so we have to look out for changes which may occur and therefore take the necessary steps once they can be recognized.
Yeah, Doc.
So a lot of it, as you say, has to do with promotion, getting word out there that there are these basic things that we must begin to take into consideration if our mental health overall is to improve. You are going to say something?
Yes, Doc. I'm just thinking about all of our listeners listening to the conversation this morning, especially some of our young parents, mothers. What are some of the early signs, and what age does this behavior typically become evident? And is there any, sometimes I know you people have conversations that may trigger, some sort of behavioral change. Can you speak to us about that, please?
All right. Behaviors can be manifested quite young. I mean, when I started in psychiatry, we talked about child and adolescent mental health. And maybe in the last 3-4 years, we're also talking about infant mental health. So there are things that can be picked up even as early as in the first year of life. So in the first year, a child who is constantly irritable and there is no physical problems that may be present. So you go to the doctor and they're quite fine. Just that irritability and that ongoing irritability could be a factor that a specialist would need to look into as to what may be the possible condition. And so there has to be an exploration of the environment that that child is in. But you tend to get more problems as a child gets older, 4, 5, 6. It's not that they have a bipolar disorder at that time, but bipolar disorder has been diagnosed as early as 6 years old. All right. So again, irritability would be one of the changes in the mood that could be present even in a child. Maybe not sleeping well,
mm-hmm.
restless sleeping, or being up for more of the night,
mm-hmm.
you know, becoming quite active and just seeming to be on the go. That could be a sign that there is the mood change.
Mm-hmm.
Now, alone like cells that wouldn't be, but so we have to look at other things. Mm-hmm. Other changes and other conditions that may be present. Yes, that child on the go, hyperactivity, not waiting their turn, throwing tantrums. Those are things that suggest emotional changes and would need to be looked into and not just ignored. The child who was normally active, interactive, becomes withdrawn, want to stay in his or her room, not playing and not associating with others. Mm. Children who may avoid certain people, if there's a case of abuse, maybe, these children will likely avoid someone who comes. And we have to be aware. You touch a child and they pull away from you, they freeze up. What's going on? You know, that's not a normal, healthy response. So we have to take these clues. And so we say to parents, you have to look not only with your eyes, but you look with your nose, your touch, your smell. Mm. Because you can pick up things. You can smell if a child is using substances. It smells on their clothing. Or you look in their pocket when you're doing the laundry. Mm. So these are, you know, in a nutshell. And one other thing I would say, physical symptoms such as abdominal pain, or headaches, very prominent in children with emotional issues, and refusing to go to school, that too can be another sign. And certainly aggression sometimes may not be played out at home but played out at school. So we have to look at these things in our children to help to determine if there are mental problems. In the adolescents, we may begin to look at risky behaviors. Are they taking chances that, you know, could be dangerous, serious consequences down the road? The use of drugs begin to creep in there. And promiscuity could be another factor. Running away from home, those kind of issues can clue us into the fact that something is not right. Decreasing grades, very significant as well. Children who used to perform well, who suddenly have just dropped. And going from maybe two grades down, A to a C or a B to a D, you know, that kind of thing would suggest that there are mental issues or emotional issues that we need to address.
No, and this one is going to be a little bit maybe controversial, but do you think we're savvy enough in Jamaica? And even some parts of the United States, do you think we're savvy enough to really deal with this? Because you mentioned a child who's hyperactive. And this is where the misdiagnosis is going to come in. Because sometimes this child is caged up in his or her home. And the only time they get to be active is when they go out. They go to school. And the teacher will diagnose. Sometimes the teachers themselves diagnose these children as being crazy. But the child is just hyperactive. The kid who's sitting in the corner and is withdrawn, maybe that child is withdrawn because the child is hungry. The child hasn't eaten in days. So do you think we are equipped and savvy enough to really deal with these situations? Because if we in the United States can hardly deal with it, I cannot imagine Jamaica having all the tools to deal with this. Do you think we are?
Well, yeah, let me be frank. I do think we have the capacity to recognize these things. We need strengthening at different levels. So where you said earlier, and I would agree with you, that guidance counselors may not always have everything that they need to deal with a problem, because we get referrals to a child guidance clinic, which we think didn't really need to come to us. If it were that they had the skills to deal with those situations. So one of the things, again, we work with them. We do training seminars with our guidance counselors to try to sensitize them to some of the things that they can do before they send the patients to us. But we do. Certainly when the child... So yes, strengthening what the guidance counselors are aware of and can do is certainly something that we need to strengthen and to build on. But should the child come to us with that kind of a referral, you know, withdrawn or hyperactivity. Mm-hmm. We have to do a complete assessment. Mm-hmm. And that assessment would take us into looking at every aspect of a child's life and also looking at them in different environments. So there must be some consistency of this hyperactivity at home, at school, at church, or other place that the child would normally go to on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. All right, so if we have that consistency, then we can make our diagnosis. If there's a difference in one or two of those environments, then we can't label the child as hyperactive or having attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, mm-hmm. because it's not consistent with our criteria. Mm-hmm. So, we have the skills. What we don't have is the adequate personnel. Mm-hmm. So it may take a long time for somebody to be appropriately assessed. Mm-hmm. And so the frustrations will continue to school and in the home until such is done. Mm. You know, it does become a challenge that is concerned. Mm.
And you know, Doc, one second, Anthony. And one more thing that you said that I think where people misunderstand children and read them wrong is that if you try to touch a child and hug a child and the child pulls away, maybe that child is being abused at home. Maybe that child is telling you something. And this is again where the misdiagnosis comes in. Anthony, ask the question and then we wrap.
Yes, Doc. I was thinking about gender and the more, which is it more prevalent in boys or girls, men or women?
You mean for bipolar disorder?
Yeah.
Or generally?
Yeah, bipolar.
Yeah, for bipolar disorder, it's a 1-to-1 ratio. Yeah, it's a 1-to-1 ratio. It's no greater in females than males.
Okay.
I think, however, females will manage better. But the prevalence is a 1-to-1 ratio.
Mm. Well, you know, Dr. Garvey, I thank you so much for having this conversation. And I just want to give a shout out to the Ailey Clark in Bipolar Foundation. And I do hope that this morning we were able to provide some kind of relief for those who are affected by bipolar disorder. I hope we were able to improve public attitude in some way, somehow, dispel the misconception and the stigma surrounding mental illness and bipolar. You know, Doc, they said I'm crazy, you know. They said I'm crazy for having a radio program like this. I know I'm not crazy, and I know I don't have bipolar. I am just a person who a lot of people misunderstood, because my mission is to be able to touch one person's life every day, uplift one person's life every day. And if I'm doing that right now, my mission is completed, and I know that I'm not a madman. And your closing remarks.
Can I say, even if you're a madman and you are doing something productive, that is what counts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what one of the things is changing the whole attitude of persons.
Mm-hmm.
We need to give people the opportunity to be, mm-hmm. to recover, mm-hmm. and to function well.
Mm-hmm.
So in my closing, I'd say, yes, we need, as part of breaking the myth and the cycle of what's going on, mm-hmm. we need more advocacy.
Mm-hmm.
Persons who have this thing, stop hiding. Families, don't hide. Say, we have it and we are dealing with it, and here are the results.
Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned with the Haile Clarke, mm-hmm. he went through university, he finished that,
mm-hmm.
he worked, he was a journalist, mm-hmm. he was a teacher, and his students loved him.
Mm-hmm.
But he had problems, so
yes,
he
indeed.
Had to manage his condition.
Mm-hmm.
And so together, we can help. There's another person I know of, she's a teacher for 25 years,
mm-hmm.
and her staff is very supportive of her. Mm-hmm. So when people know, they're willing to change their attitudes, and we can get more mileage out of helping persons to cope with their conditions.
Mm. psychiatrist, Dr. Dorothy Marcia Garvey. I thank you so much for taking all this time out of your Saturday morning to come and talk to us about this condition. Many Jamaicans are suffering from bipolar. They're affected by bipolar disorder. And as I said at the top of this interview, oftentimes they're misunderstood, misdiagnosed. We want to dispel some of those stigmas, and I hope we were able to do that this morning. Thank you so much for being a part of our conversation this morning, Doc.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And we to the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey.
Anthony, we're... Any relation?
I definitely claim it.
Claim it to your.
I've got the official word that my father is from St. Anne, so I claim it.
I don't blame you, Doc. I don't blame you. Claim your rights. All right. We will talk soon. Take care, Doc. One love. Take care.
Good.
One love. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the end of our presentation. Anthony Turner, another one is a wrap. And waiting on the other side of the 11:30 hour, it is going to be the Wake Up Radio team. Thank you, Anthony. Thank you for your contribution. And thank you for bringing up that whole Lila Ike situation. Because I remember when Lila Ike came out and said she suffers from bipolar, she was actually ridiculed on social media. Until later on, Anthony. You take care.
You take care.
One love. But ladies and gentlemen, Groovin' Radio was executively produced by Clement Human, Christopher Roberts. Groovin' Radio was hosted by Ras Clem. Contributing to our presentation this morning, we got to go back to our musical presentation. We got music from the one and only incarcerated Jacquier. Very talented young man, but troubled. I wonder if he suffers from bipolar also. In our community engagement segment, we were joined by the president of the Westchester Multicultural Chamber of Commerce, Miss Charlene Nixon. She joined us. They're getting ready for kick off the holiday season with Jingle and Mingle on November 30th up in Westchester County. We got news courtesy of the Jamaica Gleaner, Jamaica Now with Mr. Jovan Johnson. Anthony Turner joined us for ER Reports, and then he provided the bio for our very special mic check guest. The conversation this morning surrounding bipolar disorder in Jamaica. Hundreds of Jamaicans are affected by bipolar disorder, oftentimes misdiagnosed and misunderstood. Our special guest, psychiatrist Dorothy Marcia Garvey. Waiting on the other side of the 11:30 hour, it is going to be the Wake Up Radio team. Irie Jam rolls in at 1 p.m. Link Up comes in at 6, and Soundchat Radio with Chin and the team comes in at 8 p.m. Groovin' Radio will return tomorrow evening at 6 p.m. Peace, love, and blessings.